I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team. Sitting back in the chair to my left, Becky Ivins, how are you? How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm glad to see you back.
I'm glad to be back. I've had 2 weeks of going. I went and visited my brother and my mom in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Which, born and raised here in Oklahoma City, and somehow my brother and mom ends up in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So, took a little drive there.
Okay.
And then the week before, I was participating in the Red Bud Classic.
You're a peddler.
I'm a peddler. I'm not a runner. I'm a peddler.
You're a spinner. You spin those wheels on that bicycle.
So, my wife and I, we were deciding between the 30-mile and the 50-mile. And so, we kind of signed up for the 50-mile. And then we talked about, well, maybe just the 30. We got out there, and it was cold, and I didn't realize how hilly that course was. So we switched to the 30-miler and survived and got biscuits and gravy afterwards. It was a great day.
Good deal. Well, congratulations on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have got some good guests today.
I'm excited about this one.
Well, Larry Stein did the promo last week for me. Did you happen to hear that?
I did hear that.
My husband goes, there's some man that, it's usually you after we hear that doorbell, that announced that some people are coming on. So we have with us Matt Waymuller from Canadian County and Doug War from Cleveland County, and they are the county assessors. So good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here.
Good deal. And, you know, you guys help me. I'm on the education arm of several things because I love education, love learning things, love for people to know their business and their job real well. And so I head up the Home Builders Sales and Marketing Council, the education arm for that, and our real estate association. I head up the education arm for that. And so we had a real interesting conversation with you guys where you presented to realtors and builders and developers exactly what a county assessor does and how you value property, and just kind of told us a little bit about your counties, right? Larry Stein has a big presence in Oklahoma County, but we sell an awful lot of real estate in Cleveland and Canadian County. Canadian County is like the biggest growing zip code, that 73099 in the Southwest. So, you know, lots of new construction there. The new construction in Norman is, more so than ever. It used to just be resales in Norman. I mean, well, I'm talking 30, 20 years ago, 40 years ago. But there's a lot recently, a lot of new construction in the Cleveland County area.
Yeah, well, we'll see new housing additions right now where instead of one or two homes are being built, you'll actually see 12 or 14 new construction just lined up on a street. It's like kind of amazing, like a boom going on right now.
Well, and sometimes we forget that Cleveland County starts at 89th Street pretty much.
Yeah.
A lot in the Moore area, the West Moore area, that is still in Cleveland County. So,
and South Oklahoma City, which 89th Street goes into Oklahoma City, there's a lot of construction there also.
Right.
So, Doug, let's start with you as far as what exactly does a county assessor do? Let's just do a really quick cap.
Okay. A county assessor, our main function is one, is appraise property. We have to treat every property owner in the county. We have to find out what real estate they have out there. We're talking buildings or land. We've got to find out how big their homes are, garages, shops, et cetera. We go out and look at that property, inspect it, get square footages on it, and then we have to assess it. And eventually, that assessed value ends up with property taxes. But in our profession, we really don't talk property taxes because we can't control that. A lot of times, property taxes fluctuate based on bond issues, whether it be street bond issues, school bond issues. The public actually influence what they pay. the only thing we can talk about with a person is their value. You know, what's their home worth? What's Walmart worth? What's that all the individual homes worth? That's pretty much what we do. And the main thing is you have to treat everyone fair and equal. Fair and equal is a big factor.
Well, and you've got a lot of property that is exempt from taxes.
Yeah, there's a lot of different exemptions out there for property owners. There's exemptions for seniors. There's exemption for just the home most people own, called a homestead exemption. We've got veterans exemptions. So there's a lot of things out there, and that's where me and Matt and the other county assessors across the state, we try to make people aware of those exemptions. And some things I like to talk about later is things that we're doing or changing to help more people know. A lot of people, when they buy a new home, it may be their first home, they don't even know they qualify for an exemption, which can actually save them some tax dollars.
Well, and also, besides tax dollars, it affords them some legal protection against the forced sale of their property.
Yes, it does. That homestead exemption is a key exemption. And to qualify that, you've got to be the owner of the home. You actually have to be your primary residence where you live there, and then have the deed filed at the courthouse stating so.
So, Matt, I'll go to you on one of the biggest things is how do you assess value? Because value changes, it goes up, it goes down. How exactly is that done?
Well, thank you, Mark and Becky, for having me. It's done by simply looking at the market. What is other stuff selling for? And we're basically taking sold properties and adjusting unsold based on, again, what stuff's selling for in the market. You know, in Canadian County, we're a big county. We're 905 square miles. We're the fastest growing county in the state. Apologies to my counterpart there, but we're growing quickly. We're the 27th fastest growing county in the nation. And ironically, a lot of people don't realize the largest city in Canadian County is Oklahoma City because of the presence they have in our county. So a lot of growth in our county, but we're a very diverse county from east to west. You get on the east side and we see that tremendous growth, but you get on the west side of our county and it's very rural. So we embrace that diversity in our county. But again, it's just looking at getting back to your original question, how we adjust or how we look at property and we really look at sales to try to figure out what stuff's selling for. And we adjust unsolds based on what sold properties we find.
So you really do kind of like a realtor does and try to assess the value based on what is selling, comparable properties that we call comps in the market, right?
Definitely.
And you take things, you probably don't abide by the same, we don't really have rules on comparable properties, but appraisers have rules on comparable properties and how the appraiser sees a house. Some they will give value for certain things that a buyer might consider important, but the county assessor doesn't give it a whole lot of value, like things like a carport or a swimming pool.
Correct. We're in the process of just trying to establish a market value for property. Like realtors, we tend to use the three approaches to value: cost, sales, and income. But when we're looking at property, we're looking at property from kind of a bird's eye view. We're looking at all property and trying to treat all property the same from a mass appraisal standpoint. So what might be significant when you're appraising a property individually is kind of rolled into this large idea of appraising all property consistently and fairly. So if we're in a statistical range, when we look at what it sells for versus what we had it on for, then we're doing mass appraisal. We're not doing individual appraisals. So just because your home sold for $100,000 and we have it on for $95,000 or $105,000 doesn't mean that we haven't established that market value based on mass appraisal standards.
I'll tell you what, $100,000, you can't find that anymore.
Where's that house right now? Yeah, exactly. So when we come back, we'll be taking your calls. You can call in and join the conversation at 405-840-1000, 405-840-1000. And our money men right after this break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. If you want to call in and join the conversation, you can give us a call at 405-840-1000. That's 405-840-1000. And right now we have our money men.
NMLS number 196-895.
Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. How are you doing this morning, Dean?
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
We're doing fantastic. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in the market right now.
Well, probably for the first week, we had a little bit of stability. We're still, all in all, that upward trend. 30-year conventional government rates are in that 5 3/8, 5.5 range. Down payment assistance grant is 6.25. So we're in a different climate. But today's, and this week, we saw some stability. We didn't see the continual increase, you know, just through the days like that we've seen the last 2 weeks.
So we've been talking about this for a couple months now, that the overall trend that people think, nobody has a crystal ball, is that we'll continue to trickle up and we'll have these plateaus and then a little bit more trickling. Isn't that kind of the expectation?
Well, that's what they're projecting. Some are looking at a 6.5% world at year end. I mean, that was projected first of the year. It's just we've got there in a short period of time. We're not 6.5, but I'm just saying we've jumped, you know, over 2% in the last 120 days. It's just quick. It's just rapid.
Well, if you are thinking about Go ahead, Dean.
And it's impacting a lot of people, too, in their price point and people that that have been, as you know, the FHA buyers that have been in the market, or VA buyers, or anyone for that matter, that has seen rates move. It suppresses that price point on what they can qualify or how it impacts their budget. So it's a big deal. Still a great number.
They end up being able to buy less house than what they had intended to buy. So you may have been planning on buying a $300,000 house because that's the payment you qualified for about 4 months ago, 5 months ago, and now you're going to have to buy a $225,000 house to get that same payment. And those are hard to find. So if you want to find Dean Riddell at SWBC Mortgage, just go to BeckyIvins.com and look at Becky's favorites, and you're going to find him right there.
He's right there on top. Or you can give him a call at 405-858-7770. That's 858-7770. Thank you, Dean Riddell.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, we're talking to county assessors Doug War and Matt Waymuller. Did I say your name right? Something close?
Close enough.
How do you say it?
It's German. It's pronounced Waymuller.
Waymuller?
It's been a long-standing discussion about why we pronounce it more Miller sounded, probably to be sounding less German back in, the early part of the century.
Yeah.
But Mueller's probably the right way.
Okay.
I figured you did it for voting purposes in the Yukon district. That Miller.
Miller.
Yeah, I'm a way Miller.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Well, we kind of touched on exemptions. Can we cover those a little bit more in depth on what exemptions are available? Most of us have heard of homestead exemption, that you get $1,000 of your assessed value, not taxed. You just waive from taxes if you end up living in the home. You have to own it and live in it. So you only qualify for one property. Is that statewide?
Yes, that's just one property in the state. And, it saves $1,000 off your assessed value, which basically saves you $100 in taxes. We try to promote that every time we have a chance, but I'm always surprised at how many people don't have that homestead exemption in place. And it's just a real easy way to save you money. If you were there as of January 1st and you call it your home, you can apply for that exemption and receive it and get, you know, that $100 savings on your taxes on average.
That primary residence is where you actually live. Well, that it saves you about $100 a year in actual tax dollars. But in reality, in Oklahoma, we're a state that has cap levels. And when I say caps, That means if the county assessors have to keep a market value on each property, fair cash, what it would sell for, but we also keep a taxable value. Not everybody's paying off the same level. You may have five houses on the street identical. They're all appraised, let's just say, at $100,000 fair cash if they were going to sell, but they may all be paying different taxes because of something that was passed back in January 1 of 97. We came up with a 3% cap and a 5% cap, where actually if the market, if you own a home and say 1 year it's worth $100,000, the next year, like the market now is crazy, it may go up 15 or 20% from 1 year to the next. Well, if you have homestead on that property, what you pay taxes on can only go up 3% a year. So if you had a $100,000 home market value, it'd go up, the taxable value would go up to $103,000 next year, but the market, true market value may go up to $120,000. So if you don't have homestead, you have a cap value of 5%, but the difference between 5 and 3% is almost 50%. So that homestead saves you a lot more money each year, because in Oklahoma, the market, typically the real estate on residential properties go up more than 3% a year. So if you own a home over, say, a 10-year period, if someone next to you just bought your home, because if you just purchased it, if a person before you had that capped value, it comes off and the new owner will start theirs. So you can have somebody that just bought a home maybe paying $2,000 in taxes, and the neighbor may be paying $1,200 in taxes. So that homestead saves you more money than just that $100 a year.
So homestead, great exemption, but we've got another exemption. How about an additional homestead?
Yeah, we have an additional homestead, and it's called the second one, and it's based off an income level. And the income level for that to qualify it is gross household income of $25,000 or less. So, and when we say gross household income, that's anybody that's living in the house before you get, like when you file your taxes, you get to take deductions for whether it's interest expense, if you own a home, or, you know, et cetera. So there's not a lot of people that qualify for that double homestead exemption, but the assessors, we work with the legislature and we try to improve exemptions or make more of them for homeowners. And this used to be 20,000 and we got them to go up to 25,000, and we hope to get that level to go up in the future. Cause there's not, you know, right in today's times, 25,000, if your income level at that, you're struggling, and we'd like to have other help you more as far as. And that's up to the legislature. We work with them, and if they pass something, we try to support them.
Well, Matt, over in Canadian County, how many people qualify for that additional homestead exemption?
Around 300 people, so not a lot, but it's concerning to see people that have survived on an income of 25,000 gross household income. So again, we always advocate for, you know, these types of exemptions that really provide assistance to people that need it.
Okay. And then how about for the senior property valuation freeze? You've got a freeze for seniors.
Most definitely. And this freeze is a great tool. You know, the year after your 65th birthday, if you meet the income qualifications in Canadian, Oklahoma, and Cleveland County, that gross household income is $73,200, and that's based on the HUD median income for the counties. But if you put that exemption in place, you come in and apply, we see your income, and if we can verify all of that, usually your tax return is the best way to, in Canadian County, to bring that in. We have a worksheet that we can work through that. And if you have that exemption approved and you put that in place, it protects you from future appreciation in value of your property. So Doug touched briefly on the cap. The cap is a great tool to protect you from appreciation. In Canadian County, we saw values rise anywhere from 15 to 20% based on sales last year. So when you have that cap in place, if you've got homestead, that can increase by more than 3%. And whatever value you're at when you turn 65 and you come in and get approved, if you meet the income qualifications for the senior freeze and have that value frozen moving forward. Now, a couple caveats. If school bond issues are approved, that still affects your levy. So the cap or the senior valuation freeze affects the value on which taxes are calculated, but anything that might affect the levy, like a school bond issue, is going to continue to impact what you pay. So it, that new higher levy, if a bond's approved, will be applied to that frozen value.
Right, and the frozen value is an enormous advantage.
It sure is.
How about veterans? Do they get a special thing?
Yeah, we have a veterans exemption. It's for it's for 100% disabled veterans. If they were injured or et cetera in a war or a national emergency, and they're 100% disabled through the veterans, they can actually get their homesteaded property exempt, where they pay no property taxes.
So a service-connected 100% disability, there is no property taxes on your homestead.
Correct, on your homesteaded property, where your primary residence, where you actually live is.
That's correct.
That is one of the great exemptions we have. When we come back, we're going to be coming back with Word of the Day and Smoking Hot Deal that you'll want to hang on for right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins, and we're talking with Doug Ward, Cleveland County Assessor, and Matt Waymiller, the Canadian County Assessor, and it's time for our Word of the Day. Word of the Day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. You can give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our Word of the Day?
How about exemption? Should we define exemption? Well, as being free from the obligation to pay something, right?
Most definitely. Exemptions are a great way to save yourself money. You know, market value kind of is what it is. When we see sales, we have to establish market values based on what those sales are occurring. There's nothing that I can do to control that. Sales are what they are, but exemptions are something everybody has the ability to control. All they have to do is come in and apply. And just to recap, we have the homestead exemption. You've got to apply by January 1st. We have the additional homestead exemption for those that don't have gross household income higher than $25,000. The senior property valuation freeze, if your gross household income is more than $73,200. We talked about the 100% disabled veterans exemption, which is a great exemption for anybody that qualifies for that. We've got several thousand in Canadian County alone. And then one we didn't touch on there is a manufactured home exemption, which is basically half of the HUD median income or $36,600. You can come in and apply for the manufactured home exemption. Some great ways to save you money that everybody needs to be aware of.
And it doesn't mean that you're exempt from all taxes, except for the veterans, but you get some exemption from the assessed value of your property so that you're not charged as much on taxes.
Correct. It saves you ultimately on your taxes by reducing your assessed value.
It's usually really worth it. Well, okay. Well, let's go with another one. Doug, how about transparency?
Transparency. That's a great word, Becky. I'll say, basically, if you're an elected official or you work in a city office, county, state office, one thing that's really important is transparency and making records, information available and out there for the public. And that's why we have websites. Most counties have websites now. You can get on there and see what your property is assessed at. You can get on there and find out what your neighbor's property is assessed for. And we try to make any information out there available to the public now. I think that's really important in today's environment and in today's world.
Transparency is like being able to see right through. So
correct.
Just open for view.
Correct.
So that's a good word. Those are great words of the day. So I don't think we've ever had two words of the day before, Mark.
It's a double word.
It's a double thing. And I want to just reiterate that you need to jot down this number for Robbins Roofing, who sponsors our Word of the Day, because it is springtime. We're going to get some weather, and you're going to need a free inspection of your property. So it is 405. We live in the central Oklahoma, so it's 405-728-3700. 728-3700. And if you didn't have your crayon or your ink pen with you, how else can they find it, Mark?
You can go by going to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's Favorites, and you'll see Robin's Roofing right there.
Okay, let's get to some interesting statistics about your counties. So the biggest city in your county, Doug, is?
The biggest city would be Norman.
Okay.
Even though we have Moore and part of South Oklahoma City, but Norman would be the biggest city.
Geographically or property-wise?
Well, I was kind of thinking population there. I'm not the right. Total size of the county is about 558 square miles, 558,000 square miles. And I'm not sure about the geographical area, the cities, which one's bigger. I was looking at population.
Yeah, so Norman is your most populated city, even though you have a good deal of Oklahoma City in your county,
correct.
Too.
Right.
And then you've got Moore. What are some of the other smaller cities?
We have Noble, and then we go down into Lexington, and Slaughtersville would be some of the smaller. We actually, Cleveland County is a fairly large county. It actually goes all the way out to, most people think, on the west side, County Line Road in Oklahoma County or Oklahoma City. But it actually goes part of Will Rogers World Airport's in Cleveland County and goes west of that. And if you just kind of follow the river, Canadian River down, we go all the way down. We're getting headed toward Purcell, actually. Not to Purcell, but kind of that way. So,
right.
So it's a pretty large jurisdiction.
One of your boundaries is the river.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, our west boundaries. If you just got, if you got in a canoe or something, you wanted to go down the Canadian River and you started up on 89th Street, just take it all the way down south. That's the Cleveland County's west border.
Yeah. Has that moved very much over the years?
The river moves every time it rains. So. I'll say so. And anytime you deal with, we have to track who owns all property in the county, the ownership. And a lot of times that some of those legal descriptions, some people gain and lose land when that river moves. So it's hard to track that and keep up with that.
You know, I sold some property one time and it was like, had a contract to sell the property and it was 120 acres, I believe. But it was, what's the name of that road? Hog something over in Oklahoma County, east side. Anyway, it had the river. And when we got our survey back, instead of 120 acres, there was like 40 acres.
That's a big difference.
That was a huge difference. And but it had been owned by, both these parcels on each side of the river had been owned by the same families for a long time. One side of the river was owned by one family and the other land run stuff. But the river moved to the point to where their land was diminished by a third. Wow. And so, of course, we couldn't sell it for that much money.
Anytime the river's involved, you may have lawsuits. Somebody says, I have X amount of acres versus somebody else. And when we value things, sometimes the river takes away land from people where it's not usable anymore. Some people may gain land. Anytime you deal with the river, it's just a pain, I'll say. Just think of how many years has Oklahoma and Texas fought over the Red River, just besides football, but the river boundaries of the state. So,
right. So are you affected by rivers over in Canadian County?
Yes, we are. The southern edge of our county, we kind of share the river with Cleveland County. So, yes, those boundaries do change. I think the technical terms are accretion and avulsion, and that's where I'm great for a great GIS department where we can try to capture those changes in river flow and see how it impacts ownership.
Tell us about GIS.
Geographic Information Systems. That's one of the new areas today, that if you can think it and you can map it, you can do anything from in the ad valorem world. It's property boundaries. We want to, you know, ultimately, if you want to know what you own, you need to get a survey, but we want to be as close as we can for tax purposes. So we just completed a big project in Canadian County where we took the last deed on file and redrew all the property boundaries based on either legal description or whatever had been recently filed to make sure our data is accurate as it can be. And that's something we're excited about because, again, I want to tax people appropriately for I want to set values and ultimately, you know, the tax that impacts them needs to be as accurate as it can be. So we want to make sure that's accurate. But again, with GIS, if you can think of it, disease progression, crime progression, there are a lot of different things that can be mapped using the tools of GIS. And I think most recently with COVID, we could see them map where they believe the disease were progressing just by plotting where they'd seen cases. And it's a great tool. And I'm sure there'll be all kinds of ideas of how that can be used moving forward that we haven't thought of yet.
Is this like the GPS thing?
In a sense, GPS, you know, we can actually identify points on a map. So GIS is somewhat like that. I mean, it's one of the tools we can incorporate into it, but it's different in that we're just mapping ownership is what we use it for in our county. But we've also done some other neat things. We're trying to capture from a commissioner standpoint, road signs, stop signs, tin whistles, all that kind of stuff can be mapped. And you can see when it was installed and then go back and see what needs to be replaced based on its age or whatever the case may be.
So there is a lot. I know that developing a commercial piece of property, it's not a good thing when you have a blue line on your map, because that means you've got to get the protected species and stuff has to be done, and you've got to get certain amount of drainage built into your project and stuff. So the preservation of wetlands gets involved. There's just a great deal of information that is involved in those maps, right?
And I would encourage every listener, if you're in Canadian County, if you're in Cleveland County, and you have not been to your county assessor's webpage, take some time this weekend. Go there, pull up your property. You can see all the information. And if you have a question, call the assessor's office. We have found that the assessor's office are so helpful to us. You're one of the good guys. A lot of people think that, like, there's this mentality of if I called, you know, it's about taxes. It's not.
No. And anyway, I appreciate you saying that, that we're the good guys. Usually we're called the tax guys. And we don't deal with taxes. We deal with value. But, you know, our websites are a great tool. And I always recommend that every year or so, you should get on there and make sure the county assessor that we have the square footage on your house correct. Or maybe you have a barn or a shop. Make sure we have that correct. So we have, like in Cleveland County, we have 115,000 different parcels, which is real estate with land and buildings or vacant land that we actually have to keep all that information, whether it's carports, swimming pools, et cetera. But we encourage people to get on the website. And on my website, we actually have a tool. Maybe you see we have you down as 4 bedrooms and it's 3 bedrooms, or the bath count is wrong. You can actually have a routine off the website where you can email us and we'll correct that. And if you think the square footage of your home is wrong, we'll actually set up an appointment and come remeasure that. So websites are a great tool. You ought to get on there. Like I said, you can look at your property, your neighbors. We get back to that word of the day, transparency. You know, there's amazing things out there now. Technology's great.
I love the transparent part of that. When we come back, we're going to have your smoking hot deal right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Uh-huh. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our smoking hot deal. Our smoking hot deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn, and on 63rd, just west of Meridian. Casa Perico, fresh, hot Mexican food. Becky, what's our smoking hot deal today?
Well, you need to listen up on the smoking hot deal, because it's not yet on the market. It will go on the market on Thursday morning. So if you are looking for a house or know somebody looking for a house, this goes on the market on Thursday morning. It is in Cobblestone 3, which a lot of people refer to as the new Cobblestone. It's a gated area, and it's 12409 Carriage Way. Let me just tell you about the house, okay? It's close to 3,000 square feet. Of course, it's got a nice three-car garage with an upright above-ground storm shelter in it. It has probably the prettiest backyard I have seen in years in this house. It's got an outdoor kitchen, a beautiful pool, formal garden, lots of sun deck and patio area that's not all concrete. We're talking bricked and greenery in the backyard. It's a three-bedroom home, each bedroom built as a master for a private bathroom and nice big closets and everything. It's got an extra powder bath close to the kitchen and utility room. And it is just so pretty. I don't have a price on this house yet because I went out on this listing a few months ago, and these folks needed to buy a house somewhere in a different state, and they finally got their house. So now they're ready to sell, or will be ready to sell on Thursday.
Well, if this is ringing a bell for you, you can give our office a call at 405-722-3232. That's 722-3232.
Can I kind of tell you about another one? It's not fresh on the market. It's almost fresh on the market. And that's the one in Wilshire Ridge Edition. And it's a four-bedroom, two-bathroom, three-car garage. And it's priced at $245.
Ooh.
And this has solar panels on the roof, which you take over the payment on the solar panels. It's about $34,000, $119 a month, but your electric bill is $13.89 every month. So it's less, the solar panel payment and the electric bill are less than the electric bill would be.
Wow.
These folks just put these solar panels on there and then have found a house they just couldn't live without.
So that is our Smoking Hot Deals, brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill.
Okay, let's talk about websites. We've got Doug War from Cleveland County and Matt Waymuller from Canadian County. Do you guys remember how many million-dollar properties you've got in your county? We'll talk about that in a minute because that has changed a lot. But tell me about your websites and why someone needs to get on there.
I'll say it. Thanks, Becky. Yeah, here in Cleveland County, we actually just revamped our website and we made it looks a lot more modern now. We kind of made it a dashboard format. It's got like large buttons where it's real small text, or not small text, but simple text, and you can kind of find what you're looking for. And when you get on the website, the first thing you see, the first button on this dashboard, it says save on taxes. So right there, click on that button. And it'll take you to all the exemptions we've been talking about. Because we don't have much time today. Then you hear a lot of information and it's hard to write things down. But just go to that website, click on that save on taxes. It'll cover all those exemptions. And we also in Cleveland County added, we just started this year doing some online filing where you can actually, when you click on that button, it'll actually, you can pop up a form, fill out that form, whether it's for homestead or it applies to businesses also. They're required to file all their assets each year. Well, you can actually do that online. It's fillable forms. It's an easy routine. And it's one to make it simpler for the public and the businesses to file information with the assessor's office.
And how about Canadian County?
Yes, we have much of the same information available on our website. We use Spatials, which is the same company that provides this information for both Cleveland County and Canadian County. So you can go to CanadianCounty.org, get all the forms you need. If you want to know what your neighbor's house sold for, you can look that up and find that information out. If you want to see who owns a particular house, all that information is public record. Again, it's Doug's idea of transparency, I think, is a great one. The more information we can make available to the public where they can see that we're trying to treat everybody fair and equitably, I think the better it looks for us. We're looking forward to introducing a new tool called Community, which is going to provide demographic information based on what happened in the last census in Canadian County. And we've been beta testing that, and we think that's ready to go. So we look forward, hopefully in the next week, to making that data available so you can come in and learn more information about Canadian County and, you know, what the income levels are in a specific area, what education. If you filled it out in the census, it'll be available on our website through that community tool.
Now, you've had a lot of growth in Canadian County, and you've been the assessor there for, like, what, 12 years?
This is my 12th year. And great point, Becky. In Canadian County, we have grown more in the last 10 years than we did in the previous 100 years since about statehood. So it's just a reflection of the tremendous growth Canadian County is experiencing.
And schools has everything to do with property values from a real estate sales point of view. So both of your counties have really desirable school districts within them, and that causes developers to want to develop the land and for builders to want to build new properties on there. And a lot of folks don't know how to find out the school district. So is it on your website? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
That is actually the determining factor. It's very easy to see on Canadian County, Cleveland County, Oklahoma County, the major parts of Oklahoma City. Very easy to see the school district, and that's the definitive document because that's where the taxes go, right? So how much of our taxes go to schools?
Well, if each dollar that anyone pays in ad valorem taxes, about 75% of those go to public schools, and that can be, you know, elementary, high school, middle schools. It also includes the career techs. And the one reason the schools enjoy the ad valorem tax dollars is it's stable money or funding that comes to them each year, where when you get the legislature involved, sometimes they have money to help the schools, sometimes they don't. But with the ad valorem dollar, they can count on that year to year. Because as the market goes up or down, those funds may fluctuate a little bit, but they're really pretty stable.
So. Okay. So anything to add to that, Matt?
You know, Canadian County is a growing county. We love the growth in our county. We're getting ready to send out notices, change of value notices to our county.
Those
and when we send out those notices, it'll be establishing a new market value. I think it's important to note, too, that the assessment office is a very true form of government, because if you have a question about it, you come in and see me, and all the taxes stay locally. They all stay in Canadian County and in the school district in which you live. So I think that makes it a very exciting thing and a very exciting form of government.
Thank you, Matt. And thank you, Doug. And by the way, they have no opponents for their election. The filing ended at 5:00 yesterday, and I think that's because the educational requirements are pretty severe to get that job.
So congratulations to you both, and thank you for being with us on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.